Welcome back, Mr. Dedrick Carroll, back in the studio again for our second podcast together. And today we're going to be talking about something very, very important that I deal with every single day, and you do as well: forward head posture. And seems to be something that everybody can benefit from this conversation due to our very increased usage of cell phones and having desk jobs and whatnot. So welcome to today's episode. And let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. Mayor Carr again. I'm your host and your chiropractor. Today we're going to be diving into the subject of structural, of the cervical structure, basically talking about the forward head posture that we all have some sort of degree of. So Mr. Carroll here is a healthcare practitioner and has been for many, many years. Let me break down on his background a little bit. He is joining us today from Empirical Need. He's the owner and operator of that business. And he has a wealth of knowledge. I know this for a fact because I am not only a host of the show, but I am a client of his as well. Highly recommend his services and what they've done for me in the past, and friends and family as well. So Mr. Carroll has, 13 years as a clinical researcher at Emory University, 15 years as an educator, and 17 years in the industry as a whole. He specializes in biomechanics, myofascial integration, and the application of informed touch. Intricate, and because it is, he does a very good job at what he does. He's a class act in his industry. So he also published research exploring the efficacy of manual therapy, particularly how massage and soft tissue manipulation can create structural changes and enhance your functional movement. So let's dive in a little bit.
Very nice introduction. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, forward head posture is really the unknown pandemic, the body pandemic that most of us have some degree of symptom of. Almost every person that walks through the Empirical Need doors and that graces our tables has some sort of symptom associated with forward head posture placement, but not understanding that it's from years of unwise movement, uneducated movement in their body. Most of our people have modern day tech neck where they're sitting in a 90 degrees flex position at their hips, heads forward, looking at a workstation for hours on end, sometimes 30 and 40 years at a time. Used to be 30 and 40 years at a time. When I first started, I would treat people with these symptoms I didn't recognize to be associated with forward head posture, but that was an aging posture. Now we can say it's technic because I have people in my in my practice 19 years old.
Yes.
That if you saw their skeleton, saw their structure, rather their skeleton via x-rays, you would think they were 60 or 70 years old because they're coming in dangling with technic or tech posture even.
Yeah.
With a whole host of symptoms associated with your nervous system adjusting your entire body, your entire structure to accommodate really equilibrium balance of your head. We're balanced, your ears over shoulders, shoulders over hips, and all the way down to your ankles, ideally is about 10 pounds.
Right. Just as if we were, as we are here, sitting straight, that head weighs about 10 pounds.
Right. And over time, via mechanical applied forces, our movement, unwise to ourselves, we are instructing our head to be over center of gravity. Mm-hmm. So your nervous system gladly accommodates at the peril of your cervical spine, your lumbar spine, your entire structure gladly accommodates to try to keep your head over center of gravity. That's rounding your shoulders, shifting your hips around, all to try to keep everything over center of gravity, ultimately to keep eyes on horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result of that, we get herniation of cervical discs, herniation of lumbar discs, typically C5, 6, and 7 because of the transition from your cervical to your thoracic spine. A lot of force gets borrowed in a posterior way. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you can get protrusion of discs. You also have a lateral placement. A lot of people will have a nurture neck from one side, to another, and your nervous system is monitoring that as well. And when that happens, for example, whenever you have a lot of favorability, leaning your head to the left side nurturing. Maybe you do a lot of writing with the right side, so you're off to the left a lot, or maybe you're, you know, leaning over. But there's one side that we tend to, most of the people in my practice anyway, tend to favor. And so there's a lateral placement, which can also give herniation to the disc from one side to another. So not only do we have forward hip posture placement, but we have lateral placement as well, which gives another host of symptoms involving other structural lines that connect the body as a whole throughout functional movement and functional fascia work, fascia that connects us all together, links the muscles from the head all the way down to your foot as one connective chain, not individual Yes. muscles. They're all are monitoring, adjusting your entire structure to keep everything as balanced as possible. And then you get nerve compression, you get shoulder impingement, you get sciatica pain, a whole host of symptoms that we're looking to address sciatica pain, but not understanding that it's coming from forward head posture placement.
Very, very good introduction to the topic here. I, as a chiropractor, we see this every single day in children, people specifically born in, I would say the 2000s and younger, or, you know, 2000s, 2010, they have no idea, or no one has really talked to them about the impact of their forward head posture. I was, I think I was in Macy's maybe a month ago or so, and I see this kid waiting on his parents, just, or whatever he was doing. He was sitting down with a phone in his hand, probably playing a game. His head, give a profile view of what was happening, he just hung his head down.
True.
And I was thinking, from my professional mindset, he's going to have so many issues moving forward, from breathing issues. I mean, you named a lot of physical issues that can stem from forward head posture. So the head weighs 10 pounds upright. What about when it goes forward a little bit? What is that? Is that kind of like a bowling ball and a stick situation where that stick could snap?
We're adding 10 pounds. Every degree forward that we get fixed, we're adding 10 pounds. Some people are walking around with upwards of 70 pounds that it's anchored to their back and low back. It's supposed to be 10. So your nervous system is going to shift everything around and try to keep that 70 pounds at 10 as much as possible. Wow. And that's why you get overly kyphotic, or the back really protrudes. You get that really hunched back. But if you notice, the head, the eyes are on horizon.
Always has.
But yet the entire back is torqued. You get kyphotic. You get lordosis. So a whole host of symptoms all torquing your body prematurely, and those with these devices are sitting at a desk for 30 years at a time.
It, constantly, more than that, you know? I mean, these kids are doing it from the time that they are able to put a device in their hands. So it's going to exponentially increase issues moving forward as we grow older, as they grow older. Not to only mention the physical abnormalities that are happening, there's also physiological abnormalities that are happening. There's research now that shows, I was reading about this just recently, with forward head posture, you're cutting off your life force, so to speak. Your brain operates literally everything below it, and it's a feedback loop. If you touch something hot, without even realizing it's hot, your arm will pull back. The feedback loop goes to your brain, says, that's hot, don't do that again, or prickly, or whatever it is. You didn't have to do anything consciously for that. It just happened. That's because your brain and your body are connected. Now what we're finding out is that there's actual white matter. The cortex of your brain is deteriorating because of this pressure on the spinal cord in the neck. So there's a host of issues. And hopefully by the end of this, we can give everyone some tips and ideas of how to reverse this and how to fix this, if you're not too far gone, of course. So just wanted to touch the button on that.
Well, and tagging on to that, going back to the tech neck and forward head posture and it being so early in one's life, I mean, you have population group now that it's filming the birth as it's happening, you know, and putting it on Instagram, and in most cases, maybe handing the phone to the baby. And so the baby grows up with this phone. And so now at 16, 17 years old, the whole entire life is adapted to this. And they come to us younger and younger and younger, and not understanding why they're having shoulder impingement or why they're having breathing problems or high anxiety as a result of their chronic pain that they have experienced since they were 17, 18 years old as a result of unwise or unwise movement within their body relative to how they're built.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's completely detrimental if this goes unchecked. Not to mention also the carotid arteries that go through the neck and go into and irrigate the brain, and those veins that have to go through the neck to release that deoxygenated blood, they're being impinged too. So, I mean, there's a host. You were right by calling this a pandemic that we're just not realizing as it's a whole. True. So this is an important subject. I hope everyone takes away the value of this from what we're talking about today. So yeah, let's dive a little deeper on some things. So we already know what forward head posture is. We already know how much it weighs, your head's supposed to weigh 10 pounds, and what that degree forward does. What impact is that having on the front muscles versus the back muscles of your neck and the side muscles, or the whole muscle structure of the cervical spine?
Not only the cervical spine, but the entire body.
Correct.
The entire body starts to accommodate the placement of your head, but specifically, even going back to anxiety and breathing, you have accessory breathing muscles known as your scalenes that insert to your first and second rib that help pick up and expand the rib cage so that you can get a fuller breath within your lungs.
Right.
And what that is, helping your head forward along with your SCM ultimately become chronically shortened and in spasm. And you can't take a full breath because mm-hmm. they're in spasm. So a part of that structural re-education is releasing these spasms, re-educating the muscles here that get chronically elongated because they're being pulled forward. So you have these accessory breathing muscles that become in spasm and insert to your first and second rib that can't do as much picking up on the ribs as they're designed to do because they're pulling your head forward, your SCM involved in that as well. And going all the way down into your diaphragm, into your hip flexors, all of this gets locked short. So our goal is to take all that and re-educate it and reposition it back relative to where you are mm-hmm. and how you present in that moment in time.
So it's that text neck is bringing you into a fetal position more so. And what we're really trying to do is put you into extension, opening up everything and letting those nerves, there's holes in your spine that allow, holes that call foramens that allow those nerves to exit. And if those holes are impinged, you're not going to get the right expression or the full expression of your nerves.
Right.
Affecting the nervous system, not just the central nervous system, also your parasympathetic nervous system, everything, like your whole body gets affected by this. So minor symptoms that we can kind of give people an idea of if they think they have this, but they're not sure. What are some minor symptoms that they can experience?
Migraines.
Yeah.
TMJ, chronic back pain, chronic shoulder pain, decreased range of motion within your shoulder, reaching up to get the belt and your shoulder hurts, mm-hmm. Bending over to pick something off the ground. Oh, my back hurts. It starts in as a quiet whisper, and over time it gets worse and worse and worse. All because your body, entire body is responding, restructuring your spine, restructuring your hips, your shoulders rounding forward in response to that as well. You have connective tissue that goes deep into your core that includes your jaw, that brings your jaw out of alignment. And people will find themselves at night grinding, grinding, grinding because their jaw is out of alignment. So they're grinding their teeth. Mm-hmm. Oh, my jaw, my neck. It's all so painful. All as a result of forward head placement, jaw being out of alignment, clenching your jaw, TMJ, migraines are very common symptoms that we see and address every single day in my practice.
And it seems also like these physical situations also lead to anxiety, depression. They can over a long period of time.
So chronic pain does.
Yeah, 100%. So it's a very thin line between the two and their causality of each. So it goes into every aspect of life. What about chronic, more severe symptoms that you see with patients that have been going through this rather than just the mild stuff? I think you mentioned something like damage to the rotator cuff muscles and whatnot. So the biomechanics is off.
Well, as you say that, I then weigh on what severity is. Mm-hmm. Is it an emotional impact on your family and your family dynamic?
Definitely a case.
Or is it sending you to the surgeon to repair your rotator cuff surgery? And I'll touch on both of those. I have a woman in my practice that suffered from migraines and going to your various doctors to treat of those migraines, who tells the story that I barely had enough energy in the morning to slather some butter on some toast before I send my kids off to school. And what kind of education are they getting with toast? Because I'm in so much pain I'm in so cloudy from the medications that the doctors are giving me, not understanding that my migraines are a result of forward head posture. They come in to see me and we re-educate them based on their movement, re-educate their posture, re-educate their entire structure. And she tells me the story. It's emotional to me because we add quality back to people's lives. And not only are we with them at the massage table, but we're with them at the breakfast table. Mm-hmm. Because she has enough energy, she has enough freedom, and she's out of pain. She can cook a nutritious breakfast for her children now and send them off to school where they can receive the education even better and take that joy, that education, and share that with their friends. Mm-hmm. So there's that. We can make that powerful quality of life change in someone's life and be with them at their breakfast table.
Yeah.
We've also saved people from having rotator cuff surgery because of the rotator cuff assault from your acromion process being fixed forward, and it's over time shredding the tendon of your rotator cuff muscle. That's one of the most common surgeries we have is rotator cuff surgery. Well, if we can structurally reposition this, reduce the assault, and re-educate this person how to move within their body, we can save their shoulder, save them from surgery.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty severe stuff there.
Yeah.
How can we help these people to reverse these situations? Sometimes there's going to be chronic issues where this has been going on for many years. My grandmother, for example, 90-something years old, it's hard to reverse that. She's baked in, so to speak.
Sure.
But us people that are out here working and trying to be productive people in society, how can we help them?
In those cases where your 90-year-old grandmother may be structurally set, it can be neutralized. Mm-hmm. We can improve where they are that day. Mm-hmm. We can improve their quality of life, improve their quality within their body. For someone who is actively going through a posture change, we can stop that and re-educate their movement and give them functional exercises. And through those mechanical applied forces that I spoke of earlier, have them do some kinesio-myofascial structural integration. And that's where the client is moving in functional patterns. And we're taking the connective tissue through that informed touch and moving it in a correct functional mold, remodeling the tissue relative to them. So through those applied mechanical forces and through that informed touch and knowing how to re-educate and realign the fascia via the movement of the client is the best way to re-educate that connective tissue and then send them home with more awareness. And you'll find that the clients will say, when I find myself sitting at my desk, I will correct my posture, or I'm doing the functional exercises, or I'm doing the swims on the floor, because not only do we help re-educate the connective tissue via our touch, but we also give them exercises to re-educate the movement in their body that led them to us to begin with.
Yeah, because muscle has memory. It's controlled by your nervous system, which is nothing but memory. So yeah, you strengthen and stretch those muscles and reteach those muscles, not just the muscles, the connective tissue within as well.
And so what we do over time is re-educate the connective tissue fascia, which envelops things, bags within bags and bags, which links everything together. We do that slowly over time, re-educate the posture, where I think where we can really add chiropractic as another form of informed touch to really expedite that process, where the connective tissue moves everything, and we can over time re-educate things via the connective tissue, but through the chiropractic informed touch, you can really take things in a more, aggressive is not the right term, but it is more aggressive than what we do. More succinct, more aggressive, move things into functional alignment. After having structural alignment, the body is more primed to do something via the manual adjustments that you would do versus the soft tissue. Easier done than said. Soft tissue manipulations that we do in empirical need. I think that's how the two modalities really enhance each other, where you can do a snap, crackle, pop, and we re-educate and gently move things into functional alignment.
Yeah, in an ideal world, that combination would be done everywhere all the time. The soft tissue, you need to loosen up the soft tissue to get the adjustment corrected, to get the right adjustment to that person. And vice versa too. It could be the opposite of that scenario. Somebody's just completely out of whack. You align them chiropractically, reset the nervous system, and then you go into the myofascial part of it, and you start to break up adhesions from that, further releasing any kind of tension on the spine and the spinal cord. So yeah, these two things work perfectly together. It's a perfect marriage. I wish we could work a lot more together. It just takes some time for both modalities to be done. Some people want to get in and out of an office quickly. So yeah, people are busy. And
some people only have 15 minutes, where sometimes it takes us 90 to 120 minutes. We're seeing clients at a time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm sure you can get results within 10, 15 minutes, but sometimes that's also breaking into and breaking down, taking a layer off that patient, so to speak. Getting into that. So yeah, massage therapy is going to take a little bit longer, but is so effective at doing what it's supposed to be doing, especially in this scenario, forward head posture. I mean, would you break adhesions into, break up the adhesions in the SCMs and scalenes and whatnot?
That's a part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. That is a part of it, but also recognizing at what stage
they are in.
Yeah. And if they need to be releasing a lot of trigger points, which are acute muscle spasms, those acute muscle spasms are inhibiting range of motion. If we need to do a trigger point therapy session, releasing all of those muscle spasms before we can even get to the structural integrative type work. Sometimes people are in such pain crisis, we have to solve the pain crisis, do the triage before we can go into the therapeutic work.
Yeah, that all makes sense. Yeah. It's layers on an onion.
Yes.
We're just little onions here that need.
Yeah. And some people are in nervous system is so sensitive, even looking at them hard, can make them uncomfortable. So you have to meet them where they are, what touch they can take that particular take that day. And sometimes it's just the fascia hold.
Right.
Sometimes it's just, they need to talk. So all that, we have to meet someone where they are on that day. And if it's releasing trigger points, we release trigger points, and we get them to the point to where they can receive the structural integrative work. And when that doesn't get right to it, of course, we're always recommending you and your doctors. We're going to demo some live body work, Kinesius Myofascial Structural Integration. We're finding in our practice that people may want this type of work, but not even know how to formulate it in a search. Mm. And so we're going to demo what those applied mechanical forces look like. Okay. And we're going to be joined by my wonderful guest, my wonderful client, longtime client, Christy Neal. And she'll join us in a moment. And we're going to do some live body work.
Awesome. Excited to see it.